Philemon, chapter number 1. If you want to read chapter 2 or 3 while I preach, go ahead. Philemon, chapter 1, verse number 10. The apostle from the jailhouse writes to a man he knows and says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. I thought it was Onesimus. Well, who said? You know, Scorby read it that way. You know how many times Scorby went home and told his wife, wait till they start saying that one. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul led this fellow to Jesus in the jailhouse. And now he's being released. Not Paul, but Onesimus. And he says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but of willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Father, bless your word one more time this week to our hearts. Thank you for giving us such a good week of fellowship around your word, around the table with one another. And please, God, bless the preaching one more time, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. What I believe is still true today that was true 60 years ago. What I believe we need to hold on to today is as fervently as it was held to 60 years ago, I believe that when a man leaves home lost and encounters a soul winner and puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I believe that hour marks a time past and a time present. I believe that Onesimus left town unprofitable and came home profitable. I believe he ran away good for nothing and came home good for plenty. I believe if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I do not believe that this cooperation between a professed Christianity and a Christ-rejecting world is biblical, helpful, or right. I do not believe this myth of someone who's a drunkard praying a prayer and going on a drunkard and somehow somebody told that man he was saved. I don't buy it. I don't believe the adulteress remains in her adultery. I don't believe the dopehead remains in his dope. I don't believe the lying thief remains a lying thief. I believe Onesimus was a changed man by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe that he was when he got back home what he was when he left home. And I'm telling you tonight, if you got saved 6, 7, 8 years old like some of these precious young people, maybe I'm not talking to you tonight, but I want to say to everyone here that's set foot out in that world and everybody here that's dabbled in the sins of this world just a little bit, that is supposed to be time past when you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord didn't come to get alongside you in your sin. The Lord didn't come to put a band-aid on your depravity. The Lord didn't come to sprinkle some holy dust on your unholiness. He came to turn you from a runaway slave to a brother in Christ. He came to turn you from somebody that was not of any value to God or man and turn you into somebody that's a great blessing. I don't understand this. I really don't understand how people feel comfortable in their heart talking about the 6 people they led to the Lord at the grocery store and the 4 people they led to the Lord at the beach and the 3 people they led to the Lord at work. And month after month after month of hearing those reports, none of those people ever darkened the door of a church house. Man, let me tell you something. When I got saved, I got in church, I got in the Bible, I got involved. They never had to tell me to come. They had to say, the lights are going out, you got to leave, son. They never had to say we got a midweek service. They had to explain to me why we only had one midweek service. I'm not out of line here. There is something wrong with a so-called Christianity that doesn't expect anybody to change when they meet Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with a church and a ministry that tries to encourage people to not change, that tries to let Christ come into their good-for-nothing life instead of let Christ pull them out of death and into His marvelous light and life. Look in your Bible in Titus chapter number 3. Book of Titus, right before Philemon, just one page back, probably in your Bible. Titus chapter number 3. And the Bible says in verse number 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." That's some of us. Come on, you can admit to it. "Disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But after that, I want to know when that stopped being the characteristics of your life and when some new character traits came in. I want to know when that stopped being your pattern of conduct and behavior and when a new way of living came in. But after that, "the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness we have done." It's a good thing. Verse 3 doesn't sound too righteous to me. "But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." You understand that? He said, "You've got no good works. You can't be saved by good works. By the grace and mercy of God, He'll save you." Hallelujah. And then good works start. He didn't save you so you'd go back and wallow in verse number 3 and say, "But I'm saved, don't judge me." He saved you so you could start living in verse number 8. Praise the Lord. I don't want to hear a testimony about a fellow that was a dope-headed, fornicating, rock and roll musician, and then he said a prayer and got cool with Jesus, and he and Jesus got tight, and now he's a dope-head, fornicating, rock and roll musician. I don't want to hear that testimony. That's not a testimony. I want to hear about your before and your after. I want to hear about what you were before you met Jesus Christ, when you met Jesus Christ, and I want to hear you say, "But after that." But after that. Man, you can pack a building nowadays. Ask the world what kind of music they like and bring it in. Ask the world if they like dancing girls and bring them in. Ask the world if they like a preacher that doesn't preach and bring one in. Ask the world if they want to have the salt life in the pew. You know, get the flip-flops and the bathing suit and the tank top and just come on in and come as you are and be as you are and stay as you are and we'll sprinkle a little love on top of you. Nonsense. I used to get upset and they called these things, you know, the bridge or the journey or the river or the waterfall. Now I'm all for it. Don't call it a church because it's not a church. Amen. We've had some people leave and go to those outfits. We have more people leave and go to the couch than that's the name of their place. But anyway, but after that, what would you expect Paul to go into Corinth where they worship fornication and sensuality and say, "Now you're saved, keep doing that for Jesus"? Would you expect him to go into Athens and say, all this philosophy, all these pagan gods, all this false religion, just say a prayer and let Jesus come into your heart and keep doing that stuff? Man, they had a riot in Ephesus when Paul said, "What are you worshiping a dumb rock that fell out of the sky for? Get rid of that thing." He was whipped and beaten and jailed and run out of town for telling people, "Your life's got to change. Your religion's got to go. There needs to be a before and after." Praise the Lord. It's still in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll get back to our text. This is just the introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse, that made you nervous, didn't it? 1 Corinthians 6, Just go ahead. Yeah, I mean, you're well fed. Just sit back, relax. If you are what you eat, I'm a cow covered in chocolate pie. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not deceived by a modern minister. Be not deceived by a mega church flop doodle. Be not deceived by somebody that you go to work with and go to school with. Say, well, I'm a Christian and I do all that stuff. You're not a Christian. How can you be a Christian doing things Christ never did? How can you be a follower of Jesus Christ walking where he'd never walk? Come on, come on. We've had a good time all week. We can have some preaching. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Shacking up and following Jesus, that they're not the same. They're not the same. You can't do that. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. You got a wife? That's your wife. You got a husband? That's your husband. You got anything else going on? Don't deceive yourself. God's not okay with that. You can invent a God and make up a God and have a pretend God, but the God of the Bible said, you're kidding yourself. Nor effeminate. You're not a saved fruitcake. That's what it says. Is he allowed to say that? I am. I've got a license. I'm licensed to say things that offend people. You say, I'm a man, I want to be a woman. You don't turn into a woman. You make yourself a eunuch. That's what the Bible says. Right. You're mentally ill. We're not going to... He's a celebrity. She's a celebrity. We're celebrating people who are mentally ill? Right. As a boy, Bruce Jenner was on the cover of the Wheaties. Remember that?
Yeah.
Next month, he's going to be on the cover of Fruit Loops. It's okay, I can say that. Is it okay to say? Yeah, it's okay to say. Who you hanging out with and who you listening to that you think this stuff shouldn't be spoken against? It's insane. But the ministers are given into it, and the denominations are given into it, and people who profess to be Christians are given into it. God said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Look at them out there now. They whip themselves, they cut themselves, they mutilate their tongues and their faces, they put shrapnel in their lips and shrapnel in their nose and all, you know, metal all over their bodies and stuff. Crazy stuff, man. It's amazing. Nor thieves. Who do you owe? Let him that stole steal no more. Pay your debts, pay your bills, meet your obligations. Get a job. You know, waiting for the first of the month to get a check in the mailbox is not a job. Is that okay? All right. You know, that money, the government didn't give you that money. The government stole that money from people that worked for it and gave it to you. I got more respect those fellows with the cardboard sign out front of Walmart. At least they're standing on their feet and trying to earn something in a sorry kind of way. I saw one fellow, I was getting off an interstate in South Carolina. It's the only one I ever wanted to give any money to. He had this fellow looked like he'd been through 14 years of tribulation, not seven. He went through it once, and it was so bad he went through it a second time. And he had this sign, and it said, "I am well educated, good looking, and hard working. This is my hobby." I thought that's pretty good. I saw another one time. I was going through a town. This guy standing there had a sign that said, "Bet you can't hit me with a quarter." That's pretty creative. All right, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, serving beer in these mega churches. Serving beer at the Bible study so the young people will want to come. The devil want to come too. Nor revilers. That's the people that don't like this kind of preaching. Nor extortioners. That's the con men on your religious TV and radio and internet. So inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at this. And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful in me. Well, don't you think I could? You can do anything you want. But you're washed. Why would you return to wallowing in the mire? But you're justified. Why would you give up that which God says is just and right and pure and helpful and blessed to go back to stuff that was a disaster? Here's what I don't understand about these libertines. They say, well, you know, I'm saved. I just don't see why, you know, all these rules and regulations and all this law. I just think you can do whatever you want. Me too. Why don't you want to do what God wants? Why don't you want to do what Jesus wants? Why is it when people say, I just think you can do whatever you want, they want to not go to church, and they want to not read the Bible, and they want to not be holy, and they want to not be faithful to Christ? Tonight, I am doing what I want. I got up this morning and read my Bible. I was doing what I wanted. I could read anything. I wanted to read this. I could smoke if I wanted to. I could have some alcohol if I wanted to. I could steal some money from somebody if I wanted to. I don't want to. I've been washed. I like being clean. I've been justified. I like being on God's side. Notice in the Bible, he said, but after that. He didn't say he added Jesus to that. He said, that's over. This has started. Notice he said, such were some of you. He didn't say, some of you used to be that way, most of you still are that way, but isn't it great to be washed? You were that, and now you're this. You did live there, and now you live here. You did hang out with those people, now you hang out with these people. You did have those habits, now you have these habits. How do you expect to see anybody saved if you're telling lost people they're okay? How do you expect anybody to repent and come to Jesus if you're telling them Jesus just, he's sitting up there in heaven so disappointed that you're not there? That's a little too much self-esteem. A little too much self-esteem. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll get back to our text. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is just introduction. 1 Peter 4. Got a short message, but take a while to get to it. 1 Peter 4, verse number 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now you want to live like Christ? You want to be a Christian? Then sin stops. Jesus doesn't come along to sin with you. He comes along and gets you out of it. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Okay? So if we go out Saturday and we knock on a door and somebody doesn't know the gospel, we explain the gospel to them. And if they want to get saved, we tell them how to be saved. And if they want us to help them call on the Lord, we will minimally help them call on the Lord. And if they don't show up on Sunday, the next time we go to their house, we're going to do it again. You say, well, what are you saying? I don't know if they got saved or not. I just know what happens when people get saved. They find saved people and congregate with them. And they find Bible preaching. And they sit under it. And they find somebody that's living a Christian life and say, how do I live the Christian life? You know, when you have a Christmas program and 400 people get saved and the following Sunday your attendance is up by zero, you're kidding yourself and the people that sat through your dog and pony show. I'm leaving in the morning. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. It's supposed to be a used-to habit. It's supposed to be a used-to place to go. It's supposed to be a used-to vocabulary. It's supposed to be a used-to crowd that you run with. Verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. But God said, enough of that. You've had enough of that. That's it. We're done. No more. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. He's not denying that people did terrible things before they came to Jesus. Peter said they did terrible things. The Corinthians said they did terrible things. Titus said they did terrible things. Philemon says they did terrible things. But how would anybody read the New Testament and think that terrible things continue after you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior? Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know something? If you really get saved and you really set out to follow Jesus Christ, you will not have to break it off with the old drinking crowd. You will not have to break it off with the barroom crowd. You will not have to break it off with the dope smoking crowd. You will not have to break it off with the crack pipe crowd. You will not have to break it off with the cussing crowd. They will say, you are so weird. You are so strange. Something as bad has happened to you. Get out of here. Don't come back. Stay away. Amen. Somebody came in here wanting to mess with children. You ought to call the police and have them drug out of here. Amen. Somebody came in here trying to steal another man's wife. You ought to run him out those doors. You know why? He doesn't belong. His behavior is not consistent with Christianity. If you're a Christian, they ought to run you out of the bar. They ought to run you out of the club. They ought to run you out of the gang. They ought to say, get out of here. That behavior is not acceptable in this place. I want to be a stranger in the world and fit in a Bible preaching church. I don't want to fit in the world and be a stranger in a Bible preaching church. We get out there on that street and this college right up the road and these college girls come down and the best thing they ask them, the best thing they've ever done in their lives, have an abortion, you know. They're just so far gone, so reprobate. And they'll say to our women, our girls, who makes you wear those skirts? Why do you have to wear those skirts? And you know what they tell them? My body, my choice. Who are you to tell a woman what she can and can't do with her body? Just put it right back on. You know what they think? Standing there, almost naked, in the eyes of a town full of registered sex offenders, that's the ones that have been caught. You understand, when you type in your address, and here's 22 registered, paroled perverts, that's the tip of the iceberg. And you're running around showing everything to people whose minds are so warped and perverted by internet filth. And you think our ladies covered up are strange? We'll take that. We'll take that. It's 5 p.m. and you're staggering drunk. And you live in the woods. Because you drank away your home and you drank away your family and you drank away your health. And you walk up and say, hey, you fanatics, hey, you guys, why you just shut up? By all means, I want you to tell me you don't like what I'm doing. Why are we trying to fit in with a world this messed up? Why are we trying to look like and act like and be like and feel like and be accepted by people that are so evidently on their way to hell. You know, I believe that's maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. I think 60 years ago in this county, you'd have a hard time knowing who was saved and who was lost. Because the lost people probably had as high a manners and morals and outward decency as the saved people. It ain't hard to tell now. But some genius goes off to a minister's conference and comes home thinking, you know, the way to reach those people is to dress like them and act like them and do what they do and bring their activities into the church. You couldn't be a bigger fool. Such were some of you. Didn't you get enough of that in time past? Wasn't all that wickedness sufficient without God? Now you have God. That's what he said. I want our church to be strange to people that are dope heads and fornicators and perverts and thieves and liars. We couldn't be weird enough. I would hate for the devil's crowd in our town to like us on Facebook. I want them to say terrible things about us on Facebook. I want the world to know those people don't like our people. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to pretend I'm like them. I don't want to slip in unawares and try to sneak Jesus into them. I want to be as different as I possibly can from a world that would crucify Jesus again if he showed up. All right, let's go to the passage. Philemon, chapter number 1. You notice in all these passages, I only read about a third of them that are in these epistles. It is expected that the life changes when someone meets Jesus Christ. Now here's what I want to ask tonight, and we'll close the meeting with this. Verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I begot in my bonds. You get saved anywhere. You get saved in jail, you get saved out of jail. You get saved at work, you get saved after work. You get saved in church, you get saved out. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God you get saved anywhere. Which in time past, that's back then, before he met Christ, was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Now you're here on Thursday night. Some of you have been here five nights in a row, so I'm probably preaching to the proverbial choir. But what I want to know is, when this church decides to have Sunday school, are you a prophet to that Sunday school? Or do you have no part in that Sunday school? When the church goes out for outreach and door knocking and tract passing and public ministry, are you profitable to this church? Or do you not profit this church at all? When that offering plate comes around on Sunday morning and Sunday night, do you put the church on the profit side of the ledger? Or are you just a drain on the church's finances? You know, it's good that you go to church, but the church should be better because you're here. It's good that you join a church like this, but the church should be better because you joined it. It's good to have a church with a Sunday school and an outreach and a missions program and all the things that this church has. But it's better for you to make it better. It's better for you to be profitable. You know, if you're one of those men that owns a business here tonight, you're aware that there are a lot of young people that want a job. They don't want to work. They want a job. They don't want to report at 7, they want to report at 7:10 or 7:15 or 7:30, and you're supposed to be okay with that. And they don't want to work till 4, they want to be there till 4 with smoke breaks and text message breaks, and when I got a phone call, you have hired them to make money for your business But their commitment is such that they're unprofitable. You understand the principle? You understand the concept? I would like to see this church go from 200 to 300, from 300 to 400, from 400 to 500. But not if we're just packing the building full of people who are just packing the building. This pastor needs you to be profitable to the ministry God has given him. You're able to hear the preaching tonight because some ladies have given up their opportunity to hear the preaching to keep the little ones that would scream and yell and cry. And have you ever been profitable to the nursery? One of the preachers mentioned last night about the dinner and the meal. We could write down before the meal who's going to bring the food and who's not going to bring the food. And who's going to stay and clean up and who's not going to stay and clean up. We've had some good meals this week. Amen. Have you been profitable to the kitchen crew? Or did you just eat? When Onesimus left, he was under the employ of Philemon, but he was of no value to Philemon. When Onesimus came back, he had the same position. But now, it was going to be to the advantage of Philemon to have him in that position because he was going to be profitable. Your pastor knows where you park. He knows where you sit. I can go through our church on a Monday, and I just walk around the building and I pray for the families and the people in our church by where they sit. We're locked in. I mean, if you've been here for years, that pew is conformed to the image of you. It's just you just fit right there, just like it was made for you. But more than occupying that spot, what if you were profitable? What if this church was better because you were here? Its ministries were better because you were here. Its outreach went farther because you were here. Everybody's load was lighter because you were here. In the average independent Baptist church, 30% of the people do all the work. 20% of the people do all the outreach. 40% of the people give all the money. Glad you're here. There'll be more people here Sunday morning. Glad they're here. But it'd sure be nice if there was a time in their life when they went from being a slave to being a profitable worker. From being somebody who had to be there and resented it to somebody that was glad to go back and do it right this time. See, Onesimus, he didn't just pray a prayer and get a ticket to heaven. He met someone who so changed his life that he went voluntarily back to the place where he was a bond slave and said, I'm going to be the best servant this man ever had because it would honor Jesus Christ. I don't want to go to church because I have to. I want to go to church and be the best worker that church ever had. I don't want to just read the Bible because I have to. I want to be the best student of the Word of God the Lord ever had. I don't want to be obligated to tell my neighbor. I want to be the best evangelist God ever had. Now, I'm not saying I'll be any of those things. But I sure would like when the Lord's adding things up, I sure would like for Him to say, first of all, no more adultery, no more fornication, no more lasciviousness, no more banqueting, no more lying, no more... I'd like to have all that. And then on the other side of the ledger, I don't want it blank. I'd like the Lord to say, supported our missionaries, backed up our prayer meetings, cleaned our bathrooms, kept our nursery, waxed and washed our vans, bore one another's burdens. You understand what we're saying? Evolution's a lie. Nothing around here fixes itself. Nothing around here cleans itself. Nothing around here gets better just because it's here. You come in and the carpet's clean, somebody cleaned it. You come in, the restrooms are clean, somebody cleaned them. You're sitting here tonight and it's quiet because there's a nursery, somebody's keeping the nursery. You ate a good meal tonight, somebody fixed it. You get back on Sunday, there's no rats, somebody cleaned the place up. You know what you expect? You expect when your kids get out of that car and walk in here Sunday morning, they're going to get a good lesson from a well-prepared Sunday school teacher. You know what you expect? You expect music played well on the instruments. You know what you expect? You expect a song leader to lead you in the things of God, and right? You expect, no music today? Yeah, nobody showed up to play any instruments. No preaching today? Well, you know, the pastor, he just, you know, felt like, salt life in it today. And you know why you can count on a good church service every time you come? In a clean facility every time you come? Because there are people who are profitable. Absolutely. Profitable to the work of God. You know what would be really nice? If that cleaning list didn't have the same three names on it year after year. If it had 30 or 40 names, so that it was 7-8 months before anybody had to come back in and vacuum. Wouldn't it be nice if it was so long between sessions in the nursery, somebody had to remind you it was your turn because you weren't in there every Sunday night. You understand what we're saying? Wouldn't it be nice if the garbage cans didn't know the same two guys by name? The trash cans got to meet a stranger now and then. Philemon watched Onesimus leave good for nothing. And Paul said, when he gets back, you're going to be amazed at the difference Jesus Christ has made in his life, because he's going to be profitable to you like he's profitable to me. Glad you're here. You've been here through 2 sermons, 5 nights in a row. Praise the Lord. We coaxed you in a little bit with some brisket and some cookies and all that, but you've been here. But you know what we need? It's a good church. It's a good church. You need to back your pastor, back your assistant pastor, back the leaders of this church and say, we're going to stay with God's music. We're going to stay with God's clothing. We're going to stay with God's Bible. We're going to stay with God's standards. We're going to stay with God's plan of salvation. Okay? But then you also need to say, you know what? I'm going to be on the payroll. I need to show up for work and work. I'm going to be part of a good church like this. I need to be profitable. I need to be profitable to Jesus. I need to be profitable to Brent Logan. I need to be profitable to his wife. I need to be profitable to the people in this church. I need to stop just enjoying everything and get my shoulder behind this wheel and push a little bit. It's a fact. It's a fact. There's not a person here couldn't help. Not a person here couldn't help. Not one of you young people couldn't go out, give out gospel tracts, invite people to church. You stand around 15, 20, 30 minutes, you girls and boys in the hall and talk, you get one of those Sunday school rooms and pray for God to help the preacher and somebody get saved. Let's don't just show up. Let's be profitable. Is that fair enough? You got a great church. I hope the rapture's tonight. I really do. If it's not, I hope I get to come for your 70th anniversary, your 80th anniversary, your 90th anniversary. I hope you'll carry me in here for your 100th anniversary. Just prop me up over there by the piano. But I don't want to come back if the music's gone to the world. I don't want to come back if the culture's gone to the world. I don't want to come back if the Bible's gone to the world. Let's keep it right. Before and after. Let's keep it on the after side. But let's all pitch in and be profitable. Don't just come to a good church. Make it better.